One pair of hands on the mountains, one pair of hands on the sea, one pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
some have the ability to withstand some things and some can't withstand other things, and we're not all alike. Every mind, it's like fingerprints. Everything you touch leaves your fingerprints to it and has your aura wrapped around it. That's why the Bible said that the hairs on your head is numbered and you give an account for every idle word that you speak. And the scriptures talk about the times of trouble. Call on me in the day of trouble. Yahweh wants to help you. And above all, I need this message tonight for myself, because we're all susceptible to temptation, and we're all tempted and tried. You know, many times I've been tempted with just about everything. Paul said we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And it's the same old spirits that were working in the biblical days that the prophets wrote about. There's nothing changed about these spirits. They're crafty. Satan's been around for a long time. And as it says in Job chapter 2, let me lay you a little gestalt here on part 2 of taking out the trash. In other words, taking out the trash is taking out the temptation, because, you see, temptation breeds in the field of trash. In other words, anything that can produce trash in your mind, especially carnal, the carnal mind is not enmity. It's not subject to Yahweh, because it's enmity, and neither indeed can be. So Yahweh has to use a spiritual mind. The spiritual mind is very weak. It's way back there. It talks to you. You can hear it. Anybody can hear the Spirit speak. And the problem is, do we listen? Because the flesh is so strong. And that's why we have to fast. That's why we have to pray. And that's why we have to seek Yahweh. And we have to labor. And that's why we're victims. The Bible said, count it all joy. I know. It ain't a joy. But the Bible said, count it for joy. The way the Father looks at it is that he's put you down here as a stranger and a pilgrim on Satan's territory. Now, the Bible said that Satan is the God of this world. Well, you know that or not, but if he's the God of this world, well, I wonder why that he don't come around calling. Now, the Bible said when you would do good, evil is always present. Now, let me repeat that. The Bible says that when you would do good, that means, now let me show you something here. That means that when you would do good or more good, maybe you're doing more good than the average person, that means you're going to fall into divers temptation. And the Bible says, count it for joy. Beware of a man that's well spoken of. Remember, the devil is going to smear your name. He's going to smear your reputation. He's going to have you on Friends. And what hurts so much is that your own friends, now Job had some friends here in Job chapter 2, we're going to lay a gestalt and continue part 2 of taking out the trash. Verse 4, 7, and I'll read 9 and 10. Satan replied to Yahweh when Yahweh said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? What? Satan said, well, yeah, I've considered him. I've passed by and beheld him. But you've got a hedge up there. If you'll take that hedge down, I'll prove to you that Job is just a piece of cake. He'll be cursing you to your face. Well, Yahweh took the challenge. Evidently, he knew the intestinal fortitude in Job. I love to read Job because I'm not saying my life parallels, but we all need to read these things. The Bible said, search the scriptures, and you know, the Messiah himself, when he was tempted, and he was tempted in all points like we are, he used the scripture against the devil. And one of the things that is necessary is you better get in the Bible. You better read. You better pray. You better be ready. And especially if you are a servant. If you intend to try to win souls, to try to change the course of someone's life, and to get them in the truth, and get them to confess the truth, and get them to stand in the truth, and in the gap, and to make up the hedge, then you know that Satan, since you're a soul winner, or you're a strengthener, or you're an instructor, then Satan's going to try to hammer you real good because he don't like it. He said, you just stretch forth your hand and strike his flesh and bones. And he'll curse you to your face. And Yahweh said to Satan, very well, he's in your hands, but you must spare his life. He gave him everything in Job that was in Job's future except his life. So Satan went out from the presence of Yahweh and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. And his wife said unto him, after many trials and tribulations and many friends come around, they determined that these awful things was happening to Job because he was evil, because he'd done something wrong. I mean, when you get sick and down, the first thing people say, I wonder what he done. Could you ever think that it was a temptation or a trial? And the Bible said many are the afflictions. You know, when you're sick and you get sickness upon your body, it may be, if it's not a sickness unto death, and there is a sickness unto death that you're not supposed to pray for, that's meddling in Yahweh's business. Because, you see, sickness has to take us out of here. And Paul had to leave friends that were sick, because it was a sickness unto death. And John repeated that. He said, there is a sickness unto death. I say you pray not for. Now, you'd be praying against the will of Yahweh, because we've got a time to be born and we've got a time to die. But in the meantime, you could be suffering an affliction that you yourself didn't have anything to do with, that Satan, here it says, and Satan afflicted him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And his wife said unto him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. You know you've done something wrong. Why don't you just fess up? Did you go out with some woman? You know, Job was so righteous that he even prayed prayers for the children in case they forgot to pray. This is how wonderful this man was. I'm sure he was a wonderful man. But I'm sure that when you see his affliction and all the things that the devil was doing to him, blowing his barns down and killing his servants and his cattle and destroying hail and whirlwinds and everything else coming through, you know, if he was around and Job, he was one of Job's friends, and probably I would have done it myself. You'd have probably done it if you were there. You'd say, well, you know, this is happening. Job must be the will of the Lord. You know, that's what we say. But we just forget we've got an enemy. We've got, you know, the enemy can build up trash in even your friends around you and cause them to have trashy thoughts when you're not even guilty. And this is why if you endure the chastisements, then Yahweh can deal with you as a son, because, you know, if you quit, you know, in the midst of the battle and turn back and give up and curse God or blame him or make excuse, you know, that's what your friends are wanting you to do. You see, just as soon as if Job had to listen to the garbage that had collected in his wife's mind, see, she lived with him. She had to put up with him. She seen all these evil things happen, and no doubt she was discouraged. No doubt she thought, well, Job, you hung on to Yahweh. Why don't you just curse him? Don't you know that he's against you? He don't love you no more? And when all of your friends and all of your brothers and sisters turn against you or say something against you, it cuts deep. Do you think that Job might have had some psychological unbalancing at this point? Do you think that he might have become like David when David was having all of his friends and neighbors down on him, telling him the same thing as actually that the Job's wife told him? David, the Bible said, when everybody turned against David, that meant that everybody, that meant his wife, his family, he had a Job experience here. Have you had any Job experiences? Are you going through something that the devil said, well, you must have done something horrible wrong, boy? You know your sin's going to find you out, so this is a result of sin. And I do believe that sickness is a result of sin. I really do. I believe that sickness is a transgression of the law. However, there are some unique cases where Yahweh would, knowing you, if he knows that you're going to stick, remember I told you last night that he knows your limitations. Yahweh has not let anything come upon you in the form of a temptation that he knows that you can handle. He wouldn't put it on you. In other words, you hear so many people say, God won't put nothing on you can't bear. Well, here, I mean, Job had done past that stage, the bearing stage. And he couldn't even bear his friends. I mean, they were suggesting all kinds of negative things around him. And even his wife, the closest thing to him, she finally resented and said, curse him and die. Just give up and turn loose and go on. You're worthless. Look at your life. It's, you know, you were doing good. You know, it's easy for a poor man to die for the lack of money because he's never had none. It's hard for a rich man to die with money, because the Bible says money answers all things. You'll get friends around you, get doctors around you, get medicine around you, things that you couldn't even afford to take. And that's why that Yahweh is so in love with poor people that ain't got nothing or have sacrificed everything for him. And Job, although he was a rich man, after, see, this intensifies the problem here, the psychological problem that Job had. I mean, he was so blessed. Don't you think that the every demon that was sitting on Job's shoulder whispering in his ear, you just, look at you. You had so much. And now, if God loved you, he wouldn't take all this from you. Look. You ain't got a pot to pee in, as the old saying is down here in the South. Man, you know, you need to hang your head in a slop bucket and just leave here. You're a piece of junk. You're nothing. Job had to put up with that. And here's what he said to his wife. You talk like a foolish woman. We're going to have to accept Yahweh. And we're going to have to stand for him, whether he blesses us or whether he curses us. There's times when the chastisement is not very pleasant. But after we endure the chastisement, there's a reward. Notice this one. Matthew 6:13. And this is the model prayer. And I've taught on this before. The model prayer teaches us how to pray. Well, here it is. One of the most important facets of truthful and meaningful prayer is verse 13 of 6. 6 and 3 is 9 and 1 is 10. 10 is perfection. This is it right here. Yahweh, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yahweh will deliver you, whether you're in temptation or whether you're out. Now, some people, they can't bear a lot of temptation. Let's say that your problem, like I said last night, was eating, and that's gluttony. And, I mean, maybe you have sworn you're going to just eat half of what you've been eating so that you can lose weight and feel great and clean your temple out. I've got a brother that lives in Illinois, and I got one in Michigan that's the same way. They advise you to take care of your temple. Well, there's nothing wrong with that advice. In other words, do regular cleanse, enemas, and things of this nature, and keep your digestive system clean. And some people, it's just like the trash of their mind. Their bodies are so backed up with fecal and decay that is wrapped into the colon, and there's... Yeah, I read a book one time that all sickness and diseases comes from the colon. It's bred in the colon. And that's probably true because uniquely you're made. The Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and here's how you're made. Your colon, for whatever goes into your body, and you should be selective and purposely and not of much of a sort, because like I said last night about eating Doritos with MSG, they enhance them with these exotoxins, and you get, you know, it excites the taste buds, and man, you can't get enough of it until you get sick. Well, all that goes into the colon, and there it is. Like if you're a heavy meat eater, that would wrap into your colon, and sometimes it can stay there for 3 or 4 weeks, and if it becomes deadly fecal matter, and you don't have a total colon cleanse periodically, it could stay there for a long time. I mean, the major bulk of it would line the colon and a hardened fecal and bacteria and things of this nature. It's just like clogged arteries or your veins where it flows the blood. And the blood comes through the digestive system in a way that all the food nutrients, they leave the stomach as they're digested and put through the liver, and then they're broken down from nutrients of the body, what don't need to be expelled. The nutrients from the food goes into your bloodstream. And that's how you keep your temple clean. And it is, lead us not into temptation. Maybe your weakness is alcohol, like I said, or maybe it's smoking cigarettes, or overindulging in food. There's no big sins and little sins. All sins are transgressions. all herbs are given for the one that bears seed. All of these herbs are good for our healing according to Yahweh in the book of Genesis. That's what he said. All herbs bearing seed are given you for healing, for your healing. For the body, it does the body good. There is something on the earth in the herb that if you've got a sickness, there's something to match it. And that's why that the compounds of the pharmacies, and in this case it's said to be pharmakia, which is it's a form of witchcraft. But rebellion against Yahweh's natural laws is worse than witchcraft. Well, we talk about pharmakia, some of the medicines and things that we take, especially, I know down here in the South, people are doctors. They have become legal drug dispensers of things that are pharmakia. It's a form of sorcery. But if there is even something beyond sorcery and witchcraft, and that is rebellion against Yahweh's laws. Job didn't rebel when he was talked to. Job didn't take the advice of his friends, although I'm sure he was tempted. You see what I'm talking about? I hope and trust and pray that there be no temptation overtaking you, that but with the temptation that Yahweh gives you discipline and judgment, that when you're rebuked from Yahweh, you feel like when you're sick that this is the result of sin and that Yahweh's let these things come upon you. In some cases, that's true. How about tests, trials, persecutions, the suffering? All these are temptations or attacks from Satan. So when trouble comes, what type of that trouble? Is this directly coming from Yahweh to correct you? Do you have to search your life out and examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith? Or are we allowed to have Satan to access our lives just because we're sick and down for the count? Should we just give up and let the devil come in? That's what Job's wife decided to do. Why don't you just give in and the devil leave you alone? Just take your punishment and go ahead and die. You know, there's something very powerful in the mind. If it's in the mind and the mind is thinking correctly, like Job here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 25 and 26. Let me give you these two verses. Now, in Matthew 6:13, he said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Matthew 26:41 said, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." See how to avoid it? You know, the night that he was betrayed into the hands of sinners, he prayed till they become great drops of sweat, like blood, that fell from his face and his body. Could you comprehend the tremendous zeal and passion that he had? Because this is the greatest challenge when a man's life, especially with the suffering involved, and you know, some people, death would be a welcome thing. I mean, Job's wife probably wouldn't even shed a tear. You know, I know I've had some of my loved ones, and I have actually prayed for them to die to get out of their misery. I'm so sad that we'd have to do that because Yahweh's the healer of all diseases. Lead us not into temptation. Let us watch and pray. Matthew 26:41. I want you to write that one down. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Now that's what we want to work on. Take out the trash. Clean your mind up. Learn the scriptures. Read the Bible daily. Quote those scriptures against the devil when he comes into your mind and tells you to curse God and die. Or you look at you. What do you think you can do? You run around like you're a devil chaser. Man, you can't even heal a headache. You carry a pack of BCs in your pocket all the time. But see, that's what the devil will tell you. That you're not worthy. Look at you, he'll say. He said, you got the power to step out there in front of that Mack truck, God ain't going to let nothing happen to you. Just go in. That's what he told the Messiah in a certain sense. He said, he took him way up on a big cliff. He said, how'd you look up here, man? In a physical. Now, you've seen it from the heavens, but how's it look being down here? You're just a man now. You know what? If you just jump off here, when you would cast yourself down and dash yourself on them stones, then the angels would come and get you and you'd be out of your misery and you wouldn't have to go through what I've got planned for you, and you know exactly what I've got planned for you. I ain't going to make it easy on you. Why don't you just go ahead and jump off? And the Bible said that was a temptation. And meaning that the Messiah really considered that. He had to think about it. To be a temptation, he had to be tempted by it. Why don't I just go ahead? I know that the angels, just as soon as I crash my flesh body here, which he said is weak, he must have been feeling the agony and the pain because he just got through a 40-day fast. Go ahead. Jump. After he took him way up on a pinnacle. We got a pinnacle here in our state, our county where I live here, and it's about 3,000 feet high. And I stood there and thought about that scripture and thinking about what the Messiah must have went through, and he's evidently, and that's what it's called over here, it's the pinnacle in the Cumberland Gap National Park. And I thought about him being led up there through his temptation. And he could have just went ahead and sailed off there and just forgot all of his misery and pain and hit the rocks and crushed his body and killed it, and his spirit would have been buried up by the angels and carried into the heavens. You know what happened in reverse? In Revelations 12 and 9, the great dragon was cast out and down, that old ancient serpent who leads the whole world astray. Oh, man. I mean, he tried it in heaven. And when he caught the Messiah, when he was out of heaven down here upon the earth walking like a man, he tempted him in all points. And the Satan said, go ahead, go ahead. Go ahead and kill yourself. It'll be over with in a moment. And there's a lot of people. I've talked to a lot of men and some sisters, and some of them not too long ago, that contemplated suicide, just ended it. Their life got so miserable and so painful and so disruptive. Their problems were insurmountable. They couldn't overcome it. But the Bible says, if you will with the temptation, hold on. Hold on. Tomorrow is a new day. Yahweh may come for you tomorrow, and he wants you to hang in there. The tempter. Listen to this. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Here is a worthy saying that deserves full acceptance. The Messiah came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But for the very reason that I was shown, so that in me, the worst of sinners, that the Messiah might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life through my preaching. That's why I kept Paul preaching. That's why that he drug his beaten and painful body up for one more message after they would beat his hit him with rocks. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3, verse 5. For this reason, I, Paul, was sent to find out about your faith. And these people called him a false prophet. And this man recovered at least six experiences that were life-threatening, or they left him for dead, beating his head in. You know, if you ain't preaching the truth, I'm sure they'd have beat some sense into Paul. He would have turned back a long time ago. But he said, I'm not only willing to suffer, I'm ready to die. When you get to that point, that death would be a sweet exchange. But you ain't going to kill yourself. They're going to have to do it for you. Then you die in glory. The die is gain. But to live is the Messiah, or Christ, or the anointing. Preach the gospel in season out. Reprove and rebuke. Settle matters quickly with your enemy. Matthew chapter 5, verse 25. Listen to this one now in verse 26. You know, a lot of people like to go to court and argue and fuss and fight and carry on. Settle matters quickly with your enemy who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you'd be thrown into prison. And I'll tell you the truth, you will not get out until you pay the last penny of your fine. So when and I've settled a lot of issues by just turning them over to Yahweh. And the flesh is screaming, you take them to court. Don't you let them mistreat you. The devil sit on your shoulder and he'll come through your best friends and everything else. And if you'll just hold on. Say, let's just take it to the big court. Call the brothers. Settle the issue through the elders. Clean out the garbage. Get rid of the garbage. If there's a rotten apple in the barrel, just get rid of it. How dare any of you having an audit against your brother take him to court? Take him to heaven's court. Yahweh's able to deal with it. Listen to this one now. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 5, for this reason I, Paul, was sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts to preach to you have been useless. But he found them hanging. Hang in there. Hang in. Don't give up. Take out the garbage. Get rid of all that. And watch what you eat. Watch what you say. Watch how you sleep. Get enough sleep. Don't overextend yourself. Don't burn the candle at both ends. For it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Listen as I read. In order that Satan might not get the advantage, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You see that now? Satan might get you to burn in the candle at both ends, or, you know, put you in debt, and you'd have to work two or three jobs, and you get down on the system, you get negative. Yahweh loves cheerful, good, positive people. Keep the faith. Look up. Sing praises. You know how to get out of trouble? Read scriptures and sing praises. I get my guitar when I get lonely, and I do get lonely. And I got a wonderful family. I stay busy all the time, working for Yahweh. But there's times that my spirit grieves. My spirit mourns. I don't know what to feed it. I don't want to give it. It's just something like a homing pigeon in a cage, and it wants to be free. I just go get my guitar, and I sit down, and I start singing songs of Zion. We'll walk around me, Yahweh, walk around. We'll walk around me, Yahweh, walk around. Walk around me, Yahweh, walk around. Walk around my bedside now. When I'm sick, I can't get well. Walk around. When I'm tired and lonely, walk around. When I'm poor and needy, walk around. He'll always be there, ladies and gentlemen. And sing that in praise. The Bible said Yahweh dwells in the praise. But if there's trash in there, he won't dwell in an unclean temple that when it's tempted, it can't endure the temptation and it gives up and puffs up, or, you know, you can tell about the disposition of someone. A man's disposition on the inside represents what he possesses in his personality. It determines that what he is tempted by on the outside. The temptation fits the nature of the one tempted. If he's not conquered his temper, the devil devil. See, that man's disposition, he's quick-triggered, easy to get mad and fly off the handle. That devil knows that. So he'll give you every opportunity to fly off the handle. And it reveals the disposition that's on the inside. That's the trash department. You can conquer anger. The Bible said anger rests in the bosom of a fool. Uh-oh. The man's disposition reveals the possibilities of that very nature that he has, and the devil can recognize it. And people can recognize it. They'll stroke you. They'll try you. If they know you are quick on the temper, they'll do their best to make you mad. I mean, they'll work overtime to find your temptation. If it's a drink that you can't, and they know it's a temptation, and they know that you're weak in the flesh, and alcohol is one of your weaknesses, although you didn't go out and buy it, they'll stop by with a good cold one, invite you to have one. And if you ain't prayed up, pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Matthew 26:41 again. That's the key. John 5:18. Listen to this one now. This is a good one, ladies and gentlemen. 5:18 in John. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps himself safe, and the evil one does not touch him. He that has sinned don't even know him. You see, when you sin without the Father. You sin without the Spirit, because the Spirit's willing to serve Yahweh, but the body of flesh is weak. And you'll turn yourself over to the body. I mean, if the devil knows that you're easy to get mad, puffed up, anger, disappointed, or he could give you a spirit of condemnation to judge your brother or anybody else for that matter, and you go around with a chip on your shoulder and you're bitter against everybody else. You're mad because they got money and you ain't got none. If you ain't got none, have you ever tried sowing seed? If you lack something, it's because you have lacked in sowing. Because he that soweth shall reap bountifully if he sows bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Hebrews 2:18. By virtue of his own suffering under the temptations, he is able to help those who are exposed to temptation. For the temptations that have overcome you is common to man. But with the temptation, Yahweh will make a way. Matthew 4:1, where we took our text and taken out the trash. This is part two. Then the Messiah was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Man, well, you talk about an ordeal. I mean, Satan showed him things that he would never show you. He had to make it very enticing for the Messiah to even consider it as a temptation, because let me tell you, the Messiah was a very strong man. However, he had to learn obedience. That's the Bible said. In his youth, he learned obedience. Now, that means you live it. You tried. So Satan tried, and he failed. But no man knows how bad he is until he has tried very hard to be good. You remember that saying? No man knows how bad he is till he has tried very hard to be good. When you try to be good, you will know how bad you really were, or you are. It's obvious, because the strength of a man is no stronger than the weakest link in his mind. If you're positive, you're going to overcome the temptation. If you're negative, the devil has already got you. Hebrews 12:4 says, in your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. I mean, when you get willing to shed your blood, man, you're resisting. That's how the Messiah got there. Most of us have even made honest attempts at resisting temptation, but we cave in immediately without much of a fight, because when the devil comes in, we just give in. Let's say your lust is you lust for strange flesh. Satan going to send you an ugly woman? No, sirree. Is he going to send you an ugly man? Uh-uh. He's going to send you one of the best-looking things you've ever seen. And you'll know it's a temptation. But if you don't watch out, your temptation feeds on weakness and bent desires. You don't know how bad you are until you try to be good and resist that. And boy, you'll see how strong that temptation is, because the harder you fight, it seems like the more the devil encourages you to fall, because he puts these things right in your hands. Remember this. That pretty woman or that good-looking man would probably never look at you if he was worth the devil to have. You see what I'm talking about? You see, if you're worth the trouble for Satan to come in and try to tempt you or destroy you, that must mean that you're worth more to Yahweh than you are to the devil. You ain't worth nothing to the devil, because just as soon as you are weak and you fall into temptation, you give up, Satan's through with you. That's his job. Kill you, steal you, and destroy you. He can destroy you with a temptation. If you don't take out the trash. If you've got a weakness of lust in there, you've got to pray about it. How about fasting? You say, well, I tell you what, I've fasted and I've prayed, and I've got a problem, and I've had people to come and I give them counsel. But Paul said, now, if you're going to counsel a brother for him to stand, and you get tempted in the same thing and you don't stand, then he's going to watch your results. And you don't know how honest it is or how much it means to the devil to break your will and spirit, and you'll never know how bad you are until you try to be good. And when you're good, evil is always present. And the more that you've got... Now, if you're doing it for the devil, if you're actually running for the world and you love the world, that ain't a temptation. Satan's going to say, go for it, man. Then you're going to score a touchdown. Go ahead. I'll give you some money. You can get you a pretty car, and you can get all kinds of women. These men think that a car will get them a woman. These women that would trade out just for security, they trade this good-looking man for an ugly man if he's got money, so that they can run around and spend it. They don't care what he looks like. That's the difference between the nature of a man and a woman. A woman wants security, and a man wants good looks. And the devil can play on both of those. We can cave in to the temptations because we're weak. And Satan, realizing that, he'll send the very temptation or the problem or your weakness. He knows where your weakest link is. And, bless God, he'll try you. Every temptation that has come your way is the kind that is common to man. But Yahweh keeps his promise, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your power to resist. At the time, your tempter will give you the strength to endure it and so provide you with a way out. At the time you're tempted, Yahweh will give you the strength. But it always comes after you give up, it seems like. It seems like the things that you pray for won't come till you give up and give in to the devil. And you know why? Because after that you give up to the devil, the thing that you sought was out of your reach, the power that you needed to withstand the temptation. Just as soon as you give in, it no longer is a temptation, because you've been a partaker of it. And Satan is laughing all the way to the bank with your courage and with your confidence. You see, when you fall, and if you're a righteous man, you will fall seven times, the ability is to give up. And the Bible said if a righteous man falls, though he falls seven times, he'll get up. So get up, dust yourself off, and take out the trash, and keep on trucking. Don't look back. If your weaknesses are weaknesses, work on them. Pray about it. Start praising Yahweh. Pray in public if you have to. If the devil wants you to go hide and pray, and you feel like that you need to let people know that you're a servant of the King, Well, get out on your knees in public and pray. I had a brother that I used to go to run around with, and we would be going to a certain place and maybe in a crowded place in town, and he had a big, deep bass voice, and he could bellow like a raging bull, and we'd get into a place, and if he needed somebody to move, he'd say, "Praise the Lord!" Man, people would nearly fall over and get out of the way. You start cussing people and want them to move and everything else, they'll fight you. But man, you start praising Yahweh in a dance and a song, they'll think you're abnormal. It'll scare the living tar out of people. So, use reverse psychology. I guess that's what it's called. I don't know what. I'm not a psychologist, but I guess that's what it is. Galatians 6 and 1. Even if a man is detected in some sin, in other words, if you see your brother sinning, and he says, "You spiritual ones among you, quietly slip over and set him back on the right path, not with any feeling of superiority, but being yourselves on guard, lest you also would be tempted." Because in Proverbs 16 and 18 it says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit shall fall." Now, if that's true, then you better watch yourself, lest you also be tempted when you're trying to restore somebody from their temptation. Because if you tell the devil that you tell your brother, "Oh man, what's wrong with you? You weak. You better watch. Get out of that." "Yeah, man, I can't believe you're so weak." Well, you just watch the devil jump on that person that tried to restore one with pride and arrogance. Well, if you're going to try to help somebody, you get humble. You get under them. You stay down and cry with them. I've set up many a night with brothers that come and drinking. You know they're drunk, but they want to cry and talk about it. Some people can't tell you how they feel until they get to drinking, or they need alcohol or drugs to enhance them, or they have enough nerve to even tell you. And if you take advantage of that and say, "Oh, hey, boy, you don't need that stuff. I condemn you for coming in here drunk tonight," well, better watch out. Satan, he'll come in and he'll turn your little tub over. 1 Timothy. Notice this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. People who want to get rich fall into temptations and the trap of so many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. So if you've got money, better watch. The rich fall into many temptations. I've often thought about if I was to win the lottery, and I wish I could. But if you did, how would you use that money? See, I ain't took a vacation, and I don't know when. I'm always trying to do Yahweh's work, and I can't afford to take a vacation, to be frank and honest with you. But if I had the money, would I take one? Would I take a year or two off? I might. But if I did, would I fall into a lot of temptation? Of course I would. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, listen to this. "Do not let the sun go down while you're angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. But resist the devil and he'll flee from you." Don't give in to the devil. I mean, if money takes you out of the work of Yahweh, I could think about what I could do with a lot of money. I'd need a lot of money because my mind is limited in what I could do, and I could spend a lot of money in developing something. But if I did it, and it wasn't the will of Yahweh, it probably wouldn't prosper. Some people will follow you if you've got money. I'm so thankful of people that do follow me. Don't follow me because I've got any money. They follow me because I ain't got none, and they're trying to help me. And therefore, I preach the gospel because I'm a poor, and blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and I've got to close here. My time is coming down. Be self-controlled and vigilant. Be in self-control. I've been out of control more than in control, but as much as you can, stay in self-control. Watch yourself. be vigilant always, for your enemy, the devil, is always about, prowling like a lion, roaring for its prey. Resist him and stand firm in your faith, remembering that the strain is the same for all your fellow Christians in other parts of the world that you don't think is having any trouble, but the devil is like a roaring lion going about whom he may devour, and he's only wanting to devour those that's working for Yahweh. Remember that. If he's already got you, what does he need to tempt you for? He's gonna say, you go get it, man. If you have to lie for it, cheat for it, steal for it. But a man is serving Yahweh can't do that. And after that you have suffered a little while, Yahweh, with his grace, who has called you, shall share his eternal splendor, and he will make himself available to you to make you whole and secure and strong and always abiding in the love of Yahweh. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Well, you got my message. Part two of the temptations of the righteous are many, but don't forget to take out the trash. Clean that mind out. Clean that body out. Clean that spirit out. If you get a haughty, high-minded spirit, take out the trash. If you get a lusting spirit, take the trash out. Dump it. If you got an alcoholic demon screaming that you need a drink, take it out. Dump that thought out. Every thought that exalts itself, every power that is ordained, every demon, even an angel that comes preaching any other gospel, let him be accursed. Oh, man. Yahweh will give you power. He'll give you grace. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you mercy and grace. You know what happened when grace and mercy met each other? They kissed each other. If you need loving from Yahweh, just serve him. I mean, you can't go wrong. All things work to the good together of them that love Yahweh. Love him and appreciate him and serve him. And Yahweh will bless you. He'll give you the desires of your heart when you praise him. He'll dwell in your praise. When you stand faithful, he'll bless you and give you a reward. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, old Satan, your adversary, like a lion, a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. Don't let it happen to you. Escape the temptations of the devil by laying aside every little weight and sin, and run this race with patience, and submit yourself. A loving and a daily sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Yahweh, which is a reasonable service. Romans 12:1. I love you tonight with all of my heart, and I hope that you're a faithful servant. If I can do anything to help you along the way, if I can say a word, if I can send you a CD, if I can send you a DVD, if I can give you a message that we've preached, that I'm willing to do so. That's what my ministry is all about. I'd love to serve Yahweh. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for Yahweh. That's a great song and I love it. We play it a lot. And it has a lot of meaning. I'm on the battlefield for Yahweh. I've promised him that I would serve him till I die. You gotta die out into the world. You got to take out the trash every once in a while and clean yourself up and present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. If you'd like to write me tonight, I'm sponsored by Brother Mark down in the great state of Mississippi. He sent you this message on the wings of his love. He went in his pocketbook and he paid his hard-earned money that he works for. Don't come easy, ladies and gentlemen. He paid for the whole hour here. And how much I appreciate that. I've worked like I promised him I would. I preached my heart to you. I gave you the message brought to you courtesy of Brother Mark from Mississippi. He don't want any accolades. I don't mean He didn't even ask to say his name, but I want you to know, the Spirit knows. You don't know where he's at. You don't know who he is, but Yahweh knows. There is a reward laid up for the righteous. Them that love and serve him are something good. Oh, yeah. The devil will aggravate. The devil will try to steal, and he'll try to throw obstacles in our path when we do something good for Yahweh. But let it be known that all things work to good together, and I love Yahweh and call according to his purposes. If you'd like to write me tonight, you can do so by writing Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. If you'd like to comment tonight, I'm live here on a Saturday evening around the world on WWRB 2.185 Crew Channel. Also transmitting live on the internet tonight around the world. They can pick me up in Russia. They can pick me up in Spain, Portugal, Germany. If you're from a foreign nation and you like my email, just go to my website, oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh.com. And you'll find our website. You'll find messages that Brother Bob has dutifully posted up there for your listening pleasure. And we hope it'll be a pleasure too, because the gospel is a pleasure for those that believe. It's a burden and a cross to them that don't. Yahweh's richest blessings be to you. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. And the address again is Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Again, if you'd like to call me, it's early in the evening. Call me at area code 423-626-2172. I'll see you Monday night, live around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the Sound. Don't forget to repent and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins, and you become one of those worthy of being tempted and tried. And I hope and trust that you'll remain faithful if you are. Wherever you are tonight, if you're struggling, I send my prayer out to you in the name of Yahweh for him to hover like a mother hen would take his chickens under their wing and guard them from the heels and the devices of the devil. I'll see you Monday night, live, at 9 o'clock on WWRB. I'll see you Tuesday night at 11 Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget to turn back your clocks tonight. We're going back to Eastern Standard Time. And we're going off the Daylight Savings Time. Praise Yahweh. We're going back on the old-fashioned time. I love that time. Yahweh bless you. Don't forget to set your clocks back. And I'll see you Monday night at 9 o'clock. Yahweh bless you.